I'm just going to read the beginning bit of Proverbs 2, which we're looking at today, and we'll read another part later on that Matt's going to read for us. Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 5 says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Isn't that amazing? There is a part that we play, as Karen has just shared, and there's a part that God plays through his amazing grace. And it is grace, isn't it? I mean, we do not deserve to have him living in our hearts. We do not deserve to have him forgive our sins. We do not deserve to have eternal life. And yet all we need to do, as Karen said, is ask him into our hearts, read his word, pray to him, and that relationship blossoms and we receive his amazing grace.
So this is the second reading from Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 6 to 11. "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield for those whose way of life is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you."
We discovered over the last couple of weeks that the purpose of the book of Proverbs is to gain wisdom. And if you were studying this in your home group, you will discover it's not just wisdom, but it's instruction, it's guidance, it's insight, it's understanding, and enables us to know what to do is right. And we weren't sure, to be honest, in our home group what prudent meant, but fortunately Hillary had a different version of the Bible that said it means honest. So in other words, what to do that is right and honest and just and fair in whatever situation or circumstance that you find yourself in. We were also talking in my home group that actually we used the book of Proverbs to write the discipline policy for the school that I was in. It's that practical in the workplace. Because the book of Proverbs deals with mockers and scoffers, which actually, and fools, which perhaps as teenagers and young people, you know, they struggle with those kind of things. But actually, when I talked about this is what our policy said and did, Hillary, as one of those mockers and scoffers, said, "Well, maybe, maybe I would have actually listened to that, and maybe I would have changed and not been what I was like at secondary school." It is a practical book that can be applied. We also use this book as the foundation of our employment policy. In other words, Proverbs is a very practical book about wisdom in your workplace, wisdom in your family, wisdom in your circumstances, wisdom as a number of you are facing selling houses, trying to move house and move on. Do you know what I mean? This is a really practical book, you know, and part of the study at home group was basically to say, what are you needing wisdom in at the moment? And let's see what answers we can find in this text. It's pretty obvious from the way that Proverbs is written, it's poetry. I was rubbish at poetry at school. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, I really struggle with poetry because it wasn't just fact. Yeah, Jerry's nodding. It's just, isn't it? It's just like, what on earth? What does this mean? I have no idea. Do you know what I mean? But poetry, but I mean, Jenny and Hazel still go to a poetry club, don't you? And so, you know, if you want to understand how poetry works, Hazel or Jenny, just talk to them, because it's different, isn't it? It's not narrative. Yes, it's what it means to you, and the images and pictures are designed to give you understanding. Yeah. And so, in other words, you know, when it's a narrative, it's easy, isn't it? Oh, this is the historical facts of what actually happened. Here, it's what do these images portray and what do they actually mean? It's not literal, it's image related. And then last week, discovered in Proverbs 1, we all have a choice. You have a choice to be as wise and as an old owl, or like the jester, if you remember the pictures, foolish. You have a choice. You can be a simple fool. And a simple fool is somebody who, you know, just doesn't know the truth yet, doesn't know the truth who is Jesus yet. And so the simple fool is actually open to being taught. We also discovered that there are fools, and Jesus talks about this in one of his parables. There are fools who hear God's word, but do not put it into practice. And there are fools who just don't even listen in the first place. They have hard hearts. And some fools also are in the habit of moral failings and just cannot get out of them. But we know from Proverbs 1 that it is the fear, that's the awe and the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. What we're going to look at today, and I like this progression. I don't think I'd seen it before because I think I'd looked at different verses in Proverbs as opposed to done it as a book study. So Proverbs 1 is saying you've got a choice, you know, how to be a wise or a fool. But I don't, and it says the fear of the Lord, you know, is the beginning of wisdom. But that, to be honest with you, wasn't very practical. I'm a very practical person. Tell me what to do. And that's what Proverbs 2 does. And as I read at the beginning of the service, it says how to follow the path of wisdom. You have a choice to follow this path or that path, but how do you follow that path? And it's the if yous. If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. If you do these things, you are following the path of wisdom. If you accept my words. I mean, the song I was playing at the beginning is an Amy Grant song saying, my word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. If you store up, in other words, don't just say, yeah, that's what the Lord says this week, but actually store up, meditate on God's word, will, and ways. If you turn your ear to listen, if you apply your heart. Now, this is good news, I think, for all of us. It's not about how intelligent you are. It's not about what's going on in your mind. This is about your heart. Wisdom isn't about this. It's about this. And as far as I'm aware, each of you have a beating heart. Each of you have this inner being, even if sometimes our brains aren't working as well as we would like. Yeah? So apply your heart, call out for insight and wisdom, cry aloud for understanding. This isn't, oh Lord, I really would like a bit of wisdom. This isn't, you know, silent prayer. This is, how do you walk on this path? You're literally crying out, you're calling out, I need your help in this circumstance. Out loud. Look for it as silver, search for it as hidden treasure. It involves this change of verbs that we are doing. It involves a change of perhaps the path we are walking on, but there's a massive difference between someone who wants to change and someone who wants to want to change. Yeah? I'll give you an example. One of my neighbors is an alcoholic, and most of the time he wants to want to change. And every now and again, he wants to change. And about 10 days ago, because there's a couple of us who support him in our neighbourhood, Kelly, who came at Christmas, do you remember, with her family. So Kelly is someone who, and she came and knocked on my door. She said, I think wants to change. Can we help him? And so like, brilliant, let's come alongside and let's help him. But we soon discovered that it disappeared very quickly. And there was a desire back again to want to change. And she was just so disappointed, and so was I. But I'm sure you've met these people before, that there is, you know, I just long, and I said, you know, one of my other neighbors was like, I want to rescue this horse. They don't have any money. They don't have anything, but they love animals. And I was just like, I said to Karen as I came in, what about wisdom? Yeah. But we've got to change the path that we're walking on and want to change. It's got to be this heart attitude. The start of wanting and desiring wisdom is to change our hearts, not here. It's about accepting, storing, turning, applying, calling, crying, looking, and searching. Because it's about these verbs, and I think you can all accept and store and call and cry and apply your heart. What I discovered as I was reading this is that wisdom is available to absolutely everybody. It's not about here, it's about here. Wisdom is within the grasp of absolutely everybody. It's a matter of grasping it wholeheartedly as the Lord offers it. I wonder, will we wholeheartedly ask for wisdom in the circumstances and situations we're facing at the moment? But I think you know that Jesus is who we're asking for into our heart, as Karen said in her testimony this morning. What this is basically saying is search for the teachings of Jesus, knowing that in him there are hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We know that if we call out to Jesus in prayer and read his word, it's like entering a mine of precious silver and finding hidden treasure in his words, will, and ways. I don't know about you, but these verses reminded me of when the disciple says, look, you're telling us all these parables, but we really don't get them. You know, what are they about? And he says, look, as my disciple, when you receive me into your heart, what happens then is that you have eyes to see and ears to hear the secrets and the mysteries of my kingdom, which is obviously wisdom. Do not let Satan convince you otherwise. Do you remember that in Adam and Eve in the garden, they said to him, do you want to be like God? They were already made in the image of God. They were deceived. They misunderstood who they were. That's not what we want to be or hear or do. You have eyes to see and ears to hear if you have Jesus in your heart. Don't let Satan tell you otherwise. Don't let him convince you your brain isn't good enough, because it's about your heart. Sometimes what really helps me understanding about this path to follow is talking using the opposite verbs. And so if you neglect or reject God's word, as opposed to accept it, if you discard what is being taught each week, in other words, you think, oh yeah, I'll write it down, but then you forget to look at it or apply it. If you switch off when God speaks through his word and through others, if you do not put into practice what you hear, if you do not ask for help and guidance in prayer for yourself, others, and our church, if you value other people's teaching and words for your life rather than God's, then you have chosen the path of the fool. And there will be no fruit in your character or heart change in who you are. I wanted you to have a picture today to say, I know I'm walking on this path because I'm accepting, believing, crying out, applying my heart. Or, oops, I've accidentally walked on this path, which I know is the path of a fool, by doing the opposite. This is what I find so exciting, because it's both us doing something and God promising to do something. As I start accepting, applying, opening my heart, God promises he will give you wisdom. Don't let Satan rob you of this promise and this truth. If you, then the Lord promises to give you wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You know, I've discovered that every problem that I have faced in my life is due to one of three things. One, because I've not understood who God is, or have a too small view of who God is. In other words, I'm believing lies, not truth. I'm not wise in my understanding. Secondly, I haven't understood who I am in Christ. I've not really fully grasped that I had the mind of Christ. I've not fully grasped that the power that was in Jesus is in me. I've not grasped that. Or thirdly, I'm viewing people not as Jesus did. You know, I think of the story of the of blind Bartimaeus, and the crowd were rebuking him and saying, shut up, as he's saying, Son of David, help me. And Jesus just looks at the crowd who's rebuking this guy and saying, shut up. He just looks at them and says, tell Bartimaeus to come to me. And he says to Bartimaeus, who is blind, what do you want me to do? He doesn't assume. He just says, what do you want me to do? And Bartimaeus says, I want to see you. And the crowd were amazed. God promises to give us wisdom, to replace our lies with truth, to help us grasp who we truly are in Christ. He promises to give us wisdom as we perceive the marginalized, the lost, the blind, the refugees, to help us perceive them in a way that he sees them. He holds, it says, success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose way is blameless. He guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Where are you looking for your wisdom, for your answers? Are you looking to the Lord? Because he's able to give you success in your life. He is able to be a shield in times of battle. And I know some of you are facing those battles at this moment in time. He's able to guard and protect your hearts and minds. It's a three-point sermon. We're on number three. If you, then God gives you wisdom. And finally, following the good path of wisdom, verses 9 to 11. When you choose the path of wisdom, and wisdom is given to you in your heart, not your brain, remember, then you will understand what is right, just, and fair. You will understand every good path. That's an incredible promise, isn't it? I'm walking along the path. God gives me wisdom. Oh, I know exactly where to go. I wish I'd studied this when I was younger. But maybe we can teach this, do you know what I mean, to our children and our grandchildren. For wisdom will enter your heart, remember, not your brain, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. The Lord protects us by coming into our hearts. With Jesus in our hearts, we are able to follow the good path and live a right, just, and fair life. The way God protects us is not from changing what is happening out there. I don't know about you, but I think when I was a young Christian, most of my prayers were changing what was out there and everybody else. But actually, the answer is, isn't it? It says, Lord, actually, what I need to change is in here. And they're not even here. It's in here. It starts within here. The path of wisdom will lead us to healthy habits. It will lead us to developing our character. It will give us guidance in all circumstances. And you will have the ability to put into practice God's word, his will, his ways. You will be someone who says, actually, today I've managed to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm able to love you guys and myself and everybody else. I'm able then to be able to go and make disciples, teaching them everything God has obeyed, taught us to obey and do. That's the path of wisdom, and that's the outcome. So let's conclude. If we accept and store up God's word and will and ways, turn our ears to listen and hearts to apply, if we call out in prayer, cry aloud and look and search for wisdom, then the God of wisdom will give us wisdom. I think of that verse that Jesus said, ask and it will be given you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. And as I was preparing this sermon, I was given two images from God. So I hope that one of them may speak to you this morning. Maybe you feel like you're drowning at this moment in time with life and what's going on, with what's happening in your mind, in your body. It might be what's happening in your circumstances, in your family. Maybe you feel like you're drowning. But the image I got was God was throwing out not only a ring, but a life jacket. And he was saying to you, grasp on to Jesus. Hold on. Don't let go. Because you will not drown. Because you've got a life jacket and you're grasping on to the ring of Jesus. The second image I've got was a person sitting in a room. And the fire alarm was going off. And they're like, oh, I'm hearing the fire alarm. They make a note, the fire alarm's going off. But they're still sitting in the building. Do any of these images speak to you this morning? Do you feel like you're drowning and you need just to grab on to Jesus this morning? Maybe you've never accepted Jesus into your heart and you just think, actually, today's the day. I know God has called me to sit here today and to say, Jesus, I need you in my heart. I need that wisdom. I need what I see others have got in this room. Or it may be that it's not that first image. It's the second image when you think, yeah, I'm listening to what God says every week. And I'm even making a note of it. But I'm not actually getting up and doing anything differently. I'm not actually choosing, as Proverbs 1 talks about. It says the wise keep walking on that path. So it's not a case of I'm on the path, stop. You know, and what the image for me that I got was this, there's a path is only there because people have walked on it. Does that make sense? I mean, and I was thinking, yeah, it's because people walk on it and keep walking on it. There's people who've gone before me that I can learn from. This is a path that has been worn. I can see it and I can walk on it. And the wise, it says in Proverbs 1:5, keep learning and keep walking on it. That's what the Lord spoke to me. Don't stop. Keep walking and look at those who've gone before, who've walked that path. Learn from them. Yeah. And finally, we are wise not because we know it all, but because we know the one who made it all. Let's pray. Father, I pray if there's anyone here this morning who feels like they're drowning, who is just struggling in life or with circumstances, or Lord, who's someone who's never reached out and grasped you and invited you into their lives. Lord, I thank you that this morning you are offering a life jacket and a ring for them to put on to protect them, as your word has told us this morning, that wisdom, which is Jesus in our hearts, protects us as a shield. It guides us. It helps us. He helps us on our way. He is the truth, the way, the life. Lord, I pray that those who need that will just literally reach out their hands and grab hold of Jesus and hold on and hold on and hold on in this circumstance of life. And Lord, if there's others who are thinking, yeah, I keep hearing, but don't put into practice. I hear the fire alarm. I hear the Lord speaking to me, but somehow I just forget to stand up and walk. Lord, I pray that you would just break the ropes around them that Satan has put around them. Lies, I can see, things that are just need that oppression that just stops them standing up and walking. And so, Lord, we just bind them in Jesus' name and ask that you would set them free to be wise and not foolish. in putting into practice the words of God, to build their house on the rock and not on the sand, as the point of that parable was. So thank you, Lord, that you offer all this. You promise to give us wisdom. You promise to come into our hearts if we ask you. You promise to lead and guide us. You promise your shield and your protection over us. Lord, help us grab hold of your promises this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.